What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's August 29th, 2023. I'm Trey. That's Mark. How you doing over there, Mark?
What's up, Trey? It's going to be a good show. We're going to talk a little bit about the Jacksonville shooting later on and how it relates to the history they don't want you to know about and how it impacts the present, because time is a flat circle, buddy, and we're trapped in it. Before we get to that, how are you? I should ask. You doing good?
I'm okay. This is a weird thing to say following up given the subject matter, but it just occurred to me when I said your name. Do you snark? Like, would you say you've got snark?
Sure.
You seem snark. Yeah, right. So, like, snarky Mark. How do you feel about that as opposed to smart? You know what I mean? Snarky Mark.
And I've never really had a nickname. I've never really had a nickname stick. I don't know. I'm not a nickname guy.
Yeah. I'm not very funky either. But, you know, it just occurred to me because I almost called you Marky Mark just for fun. Then I was like, snarky Mark. Anyway, I'm doing okay. Katie's out of town right now. She's back in my hometown, actually, Clay County. She is like renovating the house I grew up in because we're going to try to sell it or whatever. I'm here with the kid. The boys are in school. So I'm here, you know, cooking, cleaning, sending the boys to school and stuff while she's like putting in drywall and ripping out insulation and stuff like that, you know, as is appropriate. Yeah. But we're in week two now. She comes back this weekend and, you know, hanging in there, watching R-rated movies, doing her thing.
It'd be a fun bit if she got you a Mother's Day card this year. couple things before we get to the show. Just like the dipshittery going on in Congress is killing me. If you guys haven't followed it, the government's probably going to shut down this fall unless we get more. Like, we had the debt ceiling standoff earlier this year, which is different from actually funding the government.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, but this happened. This is also a pretty frequent occurrence, right? I remember when I worked for the federal government. When Obama was president, we shut down once for like a month. And I feel like it comes up every so often. It's become like a hot thing to do, hold the government hostage or whatever.
Yeah, this happens way more than the debt ceiling thing because it comes up every year as opposed to every 3, 4, 5 years. However long they can decide however long it is by how much they raise the debt ceiling. But so Kevin McCarthy, Speaker of the House, went on TV this weekend and tried to make the argument, you know, to wrangle his dipshits that that they should continue funding the government because they shut down the government. That would also shut down all the House's investigations into the Biden crime family.
Yeah.
All right. So then the dipshits went on TV and responded that Kevin McCarthy is only doing the investigations into Biden to distract from the fact he's conspiring as a rhino to help keep funding Biden's big government. Big spending government. All right. So we got a real dipshit game of chicken going on here. Mm-hmm. And my question is, do you want a fake impeachment or not? Because this is how you get it. You got to pay the post office to do your fucking stupid impeachment. All right.
Well, so I wanted to ask you, cause it's not in the outline. I remember I saw yesterday on Twitter some talk about like they're crowing again about like some new, like some Fox News and them were acting yesterday like some new shit came out in the Hunter Biden the Biden crime family investigation. I saw a lot of people like dunking on it, you know, right wing people being like, "Yeah, this is it. We're getting close." Something about that guy that they had fired, the investigator they had fired for not investigating corruption. They're saying that was corrupt. He did an interview on Fox News, said a bunch of wild shit, and they're like, "Yeah, this is it's happening or whatever." Is how they were acting. But that's not. I wanted to ask your.
It's nothing new. It's the same stuff. It's the guy that it's the anti-corruption. It's the corrupt anti-corruption prosecutor that the whole world wanted fired. The guy who ostensibly would have been investigating Burisma, but was not investigating Burisma. So in theory, if Biden had the guy fired, it increased Hunter Biden's like legal jeopardy. But in reality, doesn't intrude here. The whole government, the whole world who was supporting Ukraine at this point wanted this guy fired, and Biden was instrumental in one of the point people in getting him fired. So that's part of that. Don't worry about making sense of it. It's fucking stupid. Yeah. Nothing new from it.
Yeah, maybe I knew we had talked about all that before. I didn't know if anything actually new had happened just the way they were talking about it. But yeah, sounds like no.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of mess. They keep trying to make fire out of some smoke they made up, but nah, it's nothing. This story, so people are apparently going to follow Trump to the ends of the earth. So this story out of Michigan killed me. So the Michigan Republican Party is dead fucking broke. I mean, no cat, because they've been fighting legal battles over their efforts to throw out the election, and they're a complete disarray. They elected a moron to run the state party. A bunch of their, you know, their most prominent activists are in legal jeopardy for the fake electors. And so they had a big meeting to try to straighten all this out last week, and it broke down into, I'll just quote here, in the face of these troubles, suspicion and infighting have been running high. A recent state committee meeting led to a fist fight, a spinal injury, and a pair of shattered dentures.
two different pairs of dentures got broke. That's some,
I can't figure
some out. Papaw smoke, buddy. Papaw throwing bows in here on the state Senate floor or whatever. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out if it was two different sets of dentures or like a top and a bottom that got broken.
Yeah. Either but way, that somebody took like a cane to the one face. Dude. Like, I immediately pictured two papaws breaking each other's dentures, but it's probably more likely that one dude broke two different papaws' teeth, which is...
Yeah. There's also a spinal injury in there, so maybe one guy broke his teeth biting another guy's spine.
Yeah.
That's also a possibility. in Republican primary news, O.J. Simpson apparently watched the debate last week, and he has decided to endorse a candidate. He has endorsed, drum roll please, Bhavik Ramaswamy.
Mm-hmm. Had a good
So congrats to this made-up guy. Like, it's obvious he's talking about Bhavik Ramaswamy, but he didn't butcher his name like that. After a long... He did like a 5-minute video where he talked about Josh Jacobs' contract extension with the Raiders, and then he endorsed Bhavik Ramaswamy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I mean, if anybody's going to butcher a name, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's a pretty good candidate.
Got CTE and two murders. In
butchering. Yeah. But
I didn't get that. Okay. Got
it. Right. Yeah. You said it. You know, it was good, no pun intended moment. On the Josh Jacobs thing, I've said this before, but like, OJ Simpson's like Twitter presence is so wild to me. It's a real source of fascination because he always starts out like, "Hey, Twitter world, it's me, OJ," or whatever, just so bright and cheery or whatnot. And like, sometimes I'll click it, just be like, "What is this lunatic saying?" But a lot of times he's talking about football, and like, if you remove the fact that he's a double murderer or whatever, it's like,
allegedly,
he's pretty good at that. Like, a lot, like, I'll find myself thinking, I'll be like, damn, you spot on with that one, Juice. In terms of the running back situation in Las Vegas right now, like, it's so weird that he's a thing still. But also, he'll get on there sometimes and be like, he'll talk about true crime stuff or whatever, which is super wild. Like, he'd be like, a lot of people want to know what I think about this new murder. Here's my thought. Like, he also is a murder commentator, like a football and murder commentator, which again, you know, certainly qualified for both. So it's just an interesting Venn diagram he's got going on.
Yeah, he's a the man has charisma. That's why he's great in the
Naked Gun.
Naked Gun movies and the Hertz Rent-A-Car commercials. That's why he was Al's old name. So like, taking a break to commit a couple of murders doesn't get rid of your charisma. But yeah, he's a quintessentially American character, black Republican murderer, felon.
Yeah.
Former convict.
Very, very well-known anecdote that might be apocryphal. I don't know if you're talking about him and Naked Gun and whatnot. The story goes that he was almost cast as the Terminator, but James Cameron said he didn't think the American public, the movie-going public, would never buy him as a killer. And so that's why he didn't get the job. That's what I've always heard.
Cameron's also pretty woke. It's why he made the T2 a cop, and why in the last Terminator, the bad guy was a Border Patrol agent. So I don't think he would cast a black person as the villain in the Terminator because he'd worry about the takeaway from it. But that's why he cast an Eastern European son of a Nazi party official who's a huge bodybuilder. But not – wasn't – yeah, I don't know. It's not getting to Schwarzenegger's personal history. So – because we talk a lot about domestic politics, I want to just do this a little bit to talk about dumbasses also exist abroad. Specifically, I want to talk about Spain for a second here. Have you followed this women's Spanish soccer team fiasco?
No, I have not.
So Spain won the Women's World Cup. They defeated England 1-0. And during the presentation of the trophies and medals or whatnot, Spanish soccer president, a guy named Luis Rubiales, gave a bunch of women creepy hugs and pulled one of them in for a forcible kiss. Her name is Jenny Hermoso. This was, of course, broadcast all around the world, and people noticed. In the locker room afterwards, Hermoso said she didn't like the kiss, and it was reported on, so it caused a bit of a controversy. So in response to this controversy, Rubiales put out a statement ostensibly from himself and also one from Hermoso, where she said, I quote, she said it was totally spontaneous and prompted by the huge joy of winning a World Cup. The Prezi, I guess she has a nickname for him, is the president of the Spanish national team. The Prezi and I have a great relationship. His behavior with all of us has always been 10 out of 10. This was a natural gesture of affection and gratitude, the statement continued. Except she didn't say any of that. He apparently wrote that statement for her. Yeah. Then she put out a statement, said she didn't like the kiss. I do not like to tolerate that my words question, and much less that words are invented that I have not said. So
it's so wild to write that statement yourself. You know what I mean? You're like, mm-hmm. you sexually assault basically one of your players on live TV and then write their statement for them. It's like, well, this is what I'm sure she would have to say about me anyway. 10 out of 10, exemplary man, individual. I'm surprised he didn't put like big dick in there somewhere, but yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
It's worth noting that Rubiales is a well-known pig and a moron. In 2016, a woman named Tamara Ramos, who was then a staffer for Spain's Players Union, said that it went public with accusations that Rubiales had, among other things, made lewd comments to her in professional settings, such as asking what color underwear she was wearing. And in front of everyone, he, with the sarcasm he has of laughing, this is obviously translated from Spanish, told me, come see, you have come here to put on your knee pads. All right? Even on the very day of the kissing incident, he'd been caught on camera, like doing a jerk off motion.
Classic.
Spain was kicking so much ass, the soccer winning 1-0. He was standing a few feet from Spain's queen and her 16-year-old daughter. And again, he'd already given everyone else creepy hugs. All right, go ahead.
It just sounds like I'm always a little bit, look, this dude is a pig. I'm not saying this guy hits for me. I'm just always a little bit like heartened whenever somebody does some shit like that that isn't a dipshit American. Like that, this dude just sounds real American-y to me. Standing by a queen, we don't have queens, but you know what I mean. Standing by a fancy lady making a jerk-off motion because your team's winning a game or whatever, and also all the creepiness. But at the same time, I thought, like, just like a kiss, I thought, you know, Europeans, you know what I mean? I'm glad to hear that they care this much about this stuff, because I always thought they just, you know, was more laissez-faire about kissing. I feel like I see them kissing each other all the time and stuff. I don't know what they're doing over there.
It is funny because, like, when the U.S. women's national team lost last month, like, all the right-wingers said it's because the U.S. women's team was too woke, and then you have the wokeness of the Spanish women's team fucking bringing their empire tumbling down. By the way, the U.S. women's national team lost to a Dutch team who were all in like lesbian relationships with others, who constantly complain about capitalism. So I don't know who's more woke here. But anyway, going back to the Americanness of this, after everyone called her for him to resign, he held a big meeting where he said this is a fake news story, and he was the victim of a hunt led by, quote, false feminists. Man, this playbook, dude. So all these meatheads in the room clapped for him, including the coach, by a guy by the name of Jorge Vilda, who, by the way, the whole team's been trying to get him fired for years. Because he does stuff like he makes them leave their forbids them from locking their hotel doors before midnight so you can do spontaneous inspections and go through their purses and bags. All right. And all this is escalated to the point where the mother of Rubiales, he has locked herself inside a church. She did this on Monday, yesterday, declared that she's going on a hunger strike over her son's inhumane treatment. So this is one of those stories where, like, it's not clear whether this is like reactionary because Spain's anti-feminist or whether it's becoming more feminist in these dipshits. It's one of those things where you can't tell whether new world is struggling to be born or whether the old one's reasserting itself, which is
right.
The theme for tonight we're going to be talking about when we get to Jacksonville. But this is just fucking perfect. These guys are probably all going to end up getting raises while the women who actually won the goddamn World Cup are going to fucking not be listened to.
Yeah. Ain't that just the way? Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it. With us, as always, is producer Matt. This is Weekly Skews. Before we continue, I want to remind y'all, of course, of a couple of things. Number one, if you'd like to see me perform live, go to treycrowder.com. My next shows are in Austin, Texas, in the middle of September. Then I got a five-city, five-day Ohio run, hitting every bit of Ohio, pretty much. And then a lot of other fun places after that. Go to treycrowder.com. Come and see me. We're having a good time out there. Also at trackrider.com, you can find a link to pre-order the book I wrote with Corey Ryan Forrester called Round Here and Over Yonder. It is a comedic travel guide documenting our sojourns around this country and also our first trip across the pond. It's a lot of fun. A relatively new item on the docket I want to remind y'all of is that you can subscribe to the show on your podcast apps, the audio version of it, which would indeed help us out. Like, even if you just watch the show, if you ever listen to podcasts at all, if you go to that wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe to us, which is of course free, cost you nothing, it would help us out in behind the scenes business like ways. Speaking of business like, if you like the show and like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more, or you can go on Patreon, look me up. Either way, you'll find it. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes. We cover things that don't come up, things that happen in between, just things we want to talk about. It's a lot of fun, and you can support the show in the process. $5 a month, weeklyskews.com/more. Get some more skews in your life. Now, as for the show tonight, last week, we talked about the rampant lunacy in the state of Texas. So this week, it's only fair that we turn our attention instead to their most fierce competitor for the title of craziest, dipshittiest state in this union, which is, of course, the great state of Florida. Mark mentioned a tragedy in Jacksonville this weekend, but a lot of other bullshit to go along with it in America's penis, and we'll be talking about it all. But first, we begin with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, anybody who still needed Viagra or lube after seeing Trump's steely jail gaze. Let's watch Mr. Waters break it down.
I am now going to book the Fulton County photographer for my Christmas card because, Judge, and I say this with a unblemished record of heterosexuality, he looks good and he looks hard. And I am now.
He looks good. He looks hard. I'm super straight. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, so they're working really, really hard to turn this mugshot into like a good thing. And I made a brief stop in jail before. It does not hit, so I don't know why they're doing it. Only a bunch of super fucking white privileged people could act like jail rules. Trump actually, in his like, Trump isn't pretending this. I mean, his merch people are, they're selling it, but he did an interview on Newsmax where they made quote, here's an actual Trump quote. I took a mugshot. I never heard the words mugshot. Didn't teach me that at the Wharton School of Finance. I think we all know what a mugshot is. I don't know why the fuck you pretend you didn't, but I went to, I Googled, Wharton felon just to see what will come up. And I found an article from like a student alumni publication, where the headline is Penn's pipeline to white collar crime. Now, I don't know why Wharton people call it Wharton, because it's just Penn's business school.
Right.
But they made a list of like if people never went, no one went to Duke says I went to Trinity College. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Universities also have sub schools. Like, you'll right. see hear people say I went to Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, but no one says it just says I went to Kennedy School of Government.
Yeah, for a long time, I didn't even realize that Wharton was just Penn. I thought it was some special uppity business school or whatever. Cause, yeah, it is weird. Like, it's almost every college has a separate name for their, like, you know, sub colleges, like the business school or whatever. So,
but yeah, I went to Randolph Hall. That was my freshman year dorm. So this person, this list of people includes some fairly well-known felons, including Michael Milken, you know, the huge like scam artist, who, by the way, was pardoned after pleading guilty to 6 felonies, including tax violations, securities fraud. He was pardoned by one Donald Trump, who presumably knows that Michael Milken took a mugshot. Michael Milken, sorry. So, yeah, I don't know, but Penn isn't Ivy. Why would you feel bad about just saying Penn?
I know. Maybe they assume people don't know that it's an Ivy or something. I don't know. They get confused with Penn State or some shit. I don't know. Who the hell knows?
Yeah. I don't know. So Trump has some legal proceedings this week. The judge and his Tanya Chutkan, sorry if I pronounced that wrong, the judge and his January 6th related case, they tried to push the trial date to April of 2026. And she's like, nah, March 4th of next year, Doug. Sorry. Yeah.
Which is, that's the day before Super Tuesday, right?
Right.
But they were all pissed off about that on the right, talking about how this, it could not be clearer that this is all politically motivated. This is weaponized partisanship. That's what this is. And they've just, you know, they spelled it out for all of us by making it the day before Super Tuesday. That was
there's not a day in the first three quarters of next year that isn't close to some primary or caucus or something. And also, like, you got the primary locked up. Putting it around Super Tuesday is probably the most convenient day for you.
That's a good point. Like, yeah.
Fuck, who cares? Like, it's like, dude, you want to say, how do you push back against arguments of election interference, except for just not holding him accountable at all? Because the election, like, when do you want to do it? You want to wait till after the election when he can pardon himself? Because that's stupid, too. Right. So, like, nobody made you run for president. She actually said, like, well, he's running for president. She's like, well, I don't take defendants' like personal or professional obligations under consideration for any other person. Why the fuck him?
Yeah, right? You said a couple of things about this. So earlier you mentioned the Michigan GOP. They're like strapped for cash because they're spending all on legal fees. Like, is that going to be a possible issue for Trump, or does it not matter for him because Rube's giving so much money and also he never pays his lawyers or whatever anyway? But like, and then I also saw that like he'll have to be at this trial, right? So that takes him off the campaign trail or whatever. Like, I don't know. How much is all this going to impact his like campaign in terms of money or availability? You think any of it matters?
Availability definitely impacts, but also like he's been out of the public eye pretty much for like 2 years and still like got his fan base. So like, you know, he's over there posting on Truth Social stuff that nobody sees and staying in Mar-a-Lago. Back to this mugshot thing for a second, talk about how this is going to impact the election. They're trying really hard to spin that it's a good thing. Like Charlie Kirk said, Trump's mugshot is like a Rage Against the Machine album cover, which no, it isn't. He also said it was like the bat symbol of the resistance. So they're trying to take the term resistance for themselves.
Right. Well, I guess the two things are related, but it's always like, there's been plenty of videos of like these MAGA people like rocking out to Rage Against the Machine. And also, was it Paul Ryan or whatever? So it's his favorite band or something. And it's just always been so funny to me. It's like, who do you think the machine is? Like, what are they, what do you think they're raging against? Also, if you ever heard any of them talk, like they're hardcore, bro, not down with y'all.
Yeah, Zach De La Rocha does songs of Run the Jewels, and Tom Morello, the guitarist from Rage, is out here like playing guitar on the picket lines during the writer's strike. So I don't know who they thought they were allied with, but none of that bullshit. And I want to watch this video in a second. Prepared me for this because this is an angle a lot of them are taking. If you got this Fox and Lori Ingraham video, Matt,
right?
That mugshot situates Trump in a cultural context that I'm not sure his enemies may have anticipated. Now he joins Frank Sinatra. He joins Elvis Presley. He joins Johnny Cash and Tupac Shakur. And he didn't only know some of these people, meaning he is now seen by non-political folks as a rebel, an outsider with swagger. And as one black lady I spoke with earlier today here in New Orleans said, Trump's a gangster, and that means he has cred among a new block of voters that perhaps have never given him a serious look.
Even some people are saying, "Yeah, well, if that one black lady said it," but it's like it's so funny because it's like, listen, we all know how much black people love crime, right? Well, they didn't even think about that, right? Yeah, pretty short-sighted Democrats. Black people love crime. Now that Trump's a criminal, they're going to flock to him in droves.
They've all been saying this. They've all been saying it. Like, it's the idea that black people are more likely to vote for somebody who's been to jail is so deeply racist that on so many levels that I can't even believe they said it out loud. But we don't have to show this next to Jesse Waters' video, Matt, because fuck it, I'm sick of looking at his face. But he went on his show on Fox News and said that he talked to his garbage man who happened to be black, and he's getting a mugshot T-shirt for all of his friends.
People do like, I don't know, there's plenty of mugshots that have been on T-shirts and stuff before. Some iconic mugshots out there of like famous people and whatnot. And it's like some people I do think that it's cool or whatever. And I'm sure Trump's like existing fan base, I'm sure they think it's super cool, presumably, or they're telling themselves they do. But I just don't think it's like, I don't think it's swaying anybody or nothing. I don't think anybody before was like, fuck that guy. They're like, oh, never mind. He's a gangster. Well, now I'm in.
Also, like the idea that we're supposed to believe that Jesse Waters talks to his garbage man. He's like, hello, black garbage man. How do you feel about Donald Trump, sir? Or like this guy, the other guy, Lori Ingraham, is like, I say, hello, black lady. Is Trump gangsta? And
yeah, right.
These people do it.
I was going to say, I kind of like this video because of the ending, like the punchline, as you put it. So right. Actually, I think we should, Matt, sorry, if you could go back, watch this other Jesse Waters video.
The mugshots up on the side of buildings in the inner city. The 2016 phenomenon's happening all over again. Trump won that election because of a laser-like focus on the forgotten man. A bond was formed back then that can never be broken.
All right, you got it, Matt. All right, so now he's showing the guy putting up a mural, and what he says is the inner city. I think it's supposed to be downtown Atlanta. I can't tell from the picture whether the guy is white or Hispanic. Anyway, the punchline of this is they didn't show the finished product of the mural.
Right.
Show this picture up here, Matt.
Yeah, this is the mural he was painting. If you're only listening, the final touch on the mural, which is a mural of Donald Trump's mugshot, the final touch is a speech bubble, comic book style, from Trump that says, MAGA, my ass got arrested. So that's what the mural the guy was painting was. Dude, Fox News is just absolutely shameless, man. Like
they got in trouble this week. They've been running a story about how some Marine who was killed in Afghanistan during the evacuation, his wife had to pay to bring his remains home. And the military got mad, not the Biden administration, but the Marines were like, we wouldn't leave a fucking guy behind like that. What are you talking about? And this quietly deleted the story with no retraction or no correction or anything. Like, they just fucking lie. And you cannot consent cannot be manufactured this easily. You have to have some like creativity behind it. The fact that that mural exists and people can go look at it is going to like kick you in your dick. Right. Is actually persuadable. So I don't understand the point of doing it. Anyway, this fucking idiot's like being arrested sucks.
And I mean, they're pretending it doesn't. As far as like the point of, I just think like they just know, and correctly, I think they know that like the people they're making that for, like they're never going to see anything else on the subject. You know what I mean? Like that, their report on it, that's all those people are ever going to see about that. Probably.
Yeah,
you're never going to.
But Roger Ailes
added the finished mural or whatever, and they know that shit. So,
right. But Roger Ailes, who was the king of this shit, and it was an evil bastard, but was good at his job. He was working in the Nixon White House, and he founded Fox News. Right. So, like, his goal was it was an electoral project. It was established conservative power by convincing something approached to a majority of Americans of your viewpoint or that the mainstream media is biased. This is not that. Whatever that is, it's not this. This isn't fooling a single motherfucker who doesn't actively want to be fooled. You got to fool people in the middle to win elections.
Right. So I don't know. Yeah. For sure.
All right. All right. You want to get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So if you guys haven't been following the news, there was a, I guess by our standards, a minor mass shooting in Jacksonville over the weekend. A 21-year-old shooter. He entered a Dollar Tree. He tried a Family Dollar, and then he used to work for Dollar General. I'm not sure if that factors into this at all, but he went to a Dollar Tree first. He was caught on camera leaving when a security guard arrived. Not sure if that deterred him or not. Then he went to a historically black college called Edward Rogers University. I guess he's going to shoot it up there, but a girl saw him putting on tactical gear and a mask in hot-ass Florida in August when told a security guard he was going to go talk to the guy, see what the fuck was up. He left when the guy went to approach him. Then he went to a Dollar General and he shot three people, a 52-year-old woman named Angela Michelle Carr, a 19-year-old named A.J. Laguerre, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that wrong, I apologize, who worked there after chasing him through the store. And then he shot a third victim named Gerald Gallion as he entered the store. All three of these people were black. Then the shooter, his name's Ryan Palmeter, I'll try not to say his name again because fuck him, killed himself. At least one of the guns has swastikas painted on it. There were also scrawls in the weapon that referenced the Christchurch shooting in New Zealand, and he wore a Rhodesian flag patch. How familiar are you with Rhodesian and why white nationalists love it, Trey?
I mean, I know that it was like a former colony in Africa, right, that got, you know, is no longer Rhodesia, Zimbabwe or whatever now. But it was one of the, you know, the, when they were all collecting African nations or whatever. I know that Rhodesia was one of them. And they got up to some bullshit down there, but I don't.
Yeah, it was a white minority ruled African territory. Like you said, it used to be a British colony. They got built a bunch of military funding from like apartheid South Africa, but then they got their shit wrecked by black nationalists in the Bush War. These people just fucking love losers. Confederates, Nazis, Rhodesia. Just like if you got your ass kicked in the name of a dumb cause, these fucking idiots love you. Palmeter also sent statements to federal law enforcement and the media suggesting that his attack was to mark the fifth anniversary of a shooting at a video game tournament in Jacksonville a few years ago where the guy killed two people. That guy wasn't racist. He was just a crazy kid who got mad over losing a game of Madden. So, if you want to know where you can get your shot in America, beating a guy at Madden will do it.
Yeah.
But this kid left behind 20 pages of racist writings. Like, before the shooting, he called his dad and told him what was about to happen to check his computer. His dad called the cops, and it was too late. Almost like if you go to write 20-page papers, just go to fucking school. Your life will be better. You won't be so full of hate. But like, yeah,
giving himself Nazi homework or whatever.
Right. Yeah,
Nazi. I'm surprised they're not calling him trans or something. They couldn't dig up any kind of trans stuff on him because that's been lately.
I'll probably figure that out. But the thing about these manifestos, man, is like we keep calling these people lone wolves, but they're not. They're not. They definitely don't see themselves as lone wolves. They see themselves as part of a movement. So like these manifestos are where these guys have to all talk to each other, even post-mortem. And like this is a weird box to be on because like as a person who considers myself kind of a free speech absolutist, like I'm not sure what to do about this shit. But like that's why the guns have to be rated. It's kind of like the First Amendment's up against the Second at this point. And we kind of got to pick one. Because, like,
right.
If you're going to have a bunch of people being radicalized by bullshit they read on the internet, which I don't want to regulate, we got to limit their ability to fucking kill mass amounts of people in a short amount of time with no skills or training or whatever, just enough money to buy a used AR-15.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you on the guns, but also on the other thing, like, you know, any private company who, you know, wants to say, hey, you can't do that Nazi shit on our right. software, or our platform, like that's, you know, it's free market.
That's their free speech.
It's fine. Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. They have the right to do that. And I'm fine with it. But like, if they want to find some, like, you know, like just some shady ass subterranean portion of the internet to post this type of shit on or whatever, like, and then, you know, other people can find it there. I don't know what we're really supposed to do about that. You know, they do have that, you know, if people are like going out looking for that kind of thing, they'll find it and find a way, you know, they'll find the rabbit hole eventually anyway. I don't know how you would
I don't fucking care what you post on the internet. Yeah, just leave the rest of us alone. But like one reason I say it's good, you gotta do something about guns is like these guns are purchased legally. Florida doesn't have a universal background check law for people buying firearms. It does have a law prohibiting people from owning or possessing firearms if they have a documented mental health concerns. Here's the thing. This guy fucking did. He'd been involved in a domestic dispute before, and he'd been held on a 72-hour psychiatric hold before, and he was still able to buy guns legally. Sheriff Waters said that the shooter made clear in his writings that the swastika and the Rhodesia thing did make clear to you that the guy hated black people. And so I wanted to talk a bit about Jacksonville's history here because this seems sort of relevant. This shooting happened in an area of Jacksonville known as Newtown. If they know about this story and Newtown, you might notice I mentioned up top that there were at least $2 stores this guy visited, and not the third one he worked at. And there's also an HBCU involved in this. So why is this a neighborhood called Newtown? Everyone's probably heard about the Great Chicago Fire and the San Francisco Fire, but the third largest urban fire in American history was in Jacksonville in 1901, May 3rd, if you're wondering. A factory burned 146 blocks, destroyed 2,400 buildings, left 10,000 people homeless, then killed 7 people. This fire took place over 8 hours. The fire department decided to save the white homes, let the black neighborhoods burn to the ground, including 2 historically black colleges, including, the one we mentioned earlier, Edward Waters, then college, now university. Think about letting the black families' homes burn. It's not totally clear from the historical record whether this was like passive racism or active racism. What I mean is whether or not they just didn't only had so many resources to use them to save the white people's homes.
I mean, that would be my immediate assumption. It's like, look, that's absolutely horrific, but it's also like in 1900 in Florida, like, you know, I would have guessed every time that they, you know, did everything they could to save the white homes and just like deprioritized the black neighborhood or whatever, because that was just kind of just how it rolled. I mean, frankly, even if that happened today, I wouldn't really be that surprised, you know, depending on where it happened at, you know, like, which is terrible.
It's worth noting that a few people did say when they complained to the fire chief, again, this fire took 8 hours to burn all this shit down, he did say maybe it was good for black homes to burn down. So maybe it was active racism, or maybe just knowing passive racism. I don't know. But anyway, one of the people who described the fire department's in action was a guy who was a school, the vice principal of a school there by the name of James Weldon Johnson. The year before, he had written a little song called Lift Every Voice and Sing, which since then, the NAACP has called the Black National Anthem. It's a, you know, prayer of thanksgiving for freedom. They use imagery from the book of Exodus and the Bible, talking about leaving slavery towards the freedom of the promised land. Ironically, after the fire, he said, fuck it, and moved to Harlem. The exodus from the fire actually led to the song spreading. It was part of the reason the song spread nationwide, and the NAACP, led to the NAACP declaring the Black National Anthem. So part of the legacy of that fire, because the black neighbor, the black part of town moved down, is Edward Waters College relocated to a part of the community where there were a bunch of new jobs for freed black people called, you know, in the railroads. So I said freed. This is Edward Waters College was started to teach freedmen in 1866. So this is obviously 50 years later, but they were, you know, it's historically black college related to another black part of town and rebuilt. And that's why it's called Newtown. All right. Mm. So I don't know if this kid fucking knew any of that.
Probably not.
Probably not. He
probably just
assumed
it's where it's the black neighborhood, right? Or a black right. neighborhood. And that's probably as much as he, as right. far as that went in his head, I would imagine.
But rebuilding after losing everything in a fire because of racist firefighters, and then suffering through a legacy of like 100 years of redlining, which is when you couldn't use GI Bill dollars after World War II to build in black neighborhoods. That's how you end up with a food desert that's where people are fed from $2 stores. All right.
Right.
with no security and no policing to protect them. All right. So anyway, that's the history of this part of Jacksonville, and an indirect way to describe how this kid ended up targeting it, even if he fucking didn't know why this was a black neighborhood. All right. More recently in Jacksonville, this shooting happened on the anniversary of something called Axe Handle Saturday, which is when a white mob used baseball bats and axe handles to club peaceful black demonstrators protesting segregation at a downtown lunch counter in 1960. Which, you know, this shooting almost happened almost 43 years to the day. This is a quote from a guy named Rodney Hurst, who was 16 when that happened, and had been encouraged by progress following the civil rights movement, whereas that racism has again become normalized. He blames dog whistles from Republicans, especially former President Donald Trump, who's again riding the politics of white grievance in his bid to return to the White House. Again, we're doing all this fucking again. But like the thing here is like, talking about at the beginning with the soccer team stuff is like, I can't tell how much of this is actually reactionaries reasserting themselves or how much is actually reacting to genuine progress.
Right.
Because Jacksonville elected its first black mayor in 2011. All right. So are you going to say
that? Well, I know exactly what you mean. Cause I think about it a lot too. Cause like for a long time, I was always adamant at being a Southerner and everything. I was always like, look, we still got a lot of problems. There's still a lot of racism. Of course we do. But like, we only move in one direction. Like it's gotten much better. It's still continuing to get much better. Like we just got to keep pushing. Like every year is a little better than the last one for most people. And that type, I used to like firmly believe that. And then even for a while in a post Trump world, for a while, my thing was, I used to always say, I was like, well, you know what this is? This is like their death throes. That's what this is. Like, you know what I mean? Like they realize that they're on the verge of like losing for good. And so they're like lashing out in desperation. And that's what we're seeing and whatnot. That's the type of shit I tell myself to sleep at night. But like, I don't know, you know, it's disheartening because you can't just say that what I used to say. You can't really say that anymore. It's like, you know, because it doesn't really feel like it's better now than like when I was a kid in Tennessee necessarily, which is wild. And I don't know that it's just a reaction to like an, you know, inevitable defeat. It's like you said, it might also be the dawn of some new shit, depending on, you know, who emerges victorious, which is a very terrifying thought. But yeah, it's a wild time to be alive, man.
Yeah, let's talk about the encouraging part first for a second. Because like I said, Jacksonville elected its first black mayor in 2011. A couple years later, I'm quoting here from the newspaper, another watershed moment unfolded when a coalition of activists succeeded in persuading the school board, after years of failed attempts to rename a high school honoring Nathan Bedford Forrest, the Confederate general and first grand wizard of the KKK.
Right.
Since then, the city has continued to sever ties to the racist past by removing a Confederate soldier statue atop a memorial at the park bordering City Hall. That move was finalized by Jacksonville's former mayor, a Republican who once served as the party's statewide chair. I imagine he would not get elected the party statewide chair right now, but good on that guy for doing the right thing, at least on this one occasion. On the other hand, other stuff has been happening recently in Florida. In Jacksonville, MLK Day in 2019, somebody distributed flyers about, you know, basically like, I don't even want to describe them, but they're like the gross images of MLK. Also recently in Florida, Nazi creeps and racist goons have like been all over Jacksonville hanging banners and lighting up, you know, downtown buildings with laser. I don't know how to describe them. We call them like the laser.
Like a laser projection.
Yeah.
Like projecting. There you go. You see it. Project. If you're only listening, it's an image of a cross, like a crucifix and a swastika together projected via laser onto the side of a skyscraper in Jacksonville. But see, like with this, like, look, dude, that's awful. Fuck these guys. Like, you know, you read in the article or whatnot, and the guy, there was a reporter embedded with them when they were doing all this, whatever. And he said it was like five dudes or something. And the guy who runs the group was like, yeah, you know, we got like 20 guys now. We're hoping we can get up to like 30, you know, before long or whatever. And like any amount of Nazis is too many, but it's also like, in a, you know, Jacksonville is actually a big ass city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dudes, it's like, you know,
yeah, this guy Trey's talking about, his name, and kudos to him for using his fucking name, because he's just standing behind his dumb bullshit. His name is Josh Nunes. I'm quoting here, another message they projected onto a stadium during a college football game said, Kanye is right about the Jews. Talking about like how big this movement is, he said his group regularly coordinates with other far-right groups, forming what advocacy organization, the Anti-Defamation League, calls an unprecedented level of coordination among white nationalist groups in Florida. So yeah, this group might have five people on this night, but there's more of them. And to that point, they've been like, there's a big Nazi rally I was going to talk about a little later, but outside of like Disney World earlier this year, it was a group called the Order of the Black Sun. They marched around Disney with anti-Semitic slogans and anti-gay and anti-trans stuff with DeSantis campaign signs.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, on that note, the same dude in that article said that like he said that they'd had they'd seen a lot of success in terms of recruitment and engagement from, you know, finding other Nazis and stuff, a lot of success from all the anti-trans, anti-drag show shit they've been doing. He's like, that's been a real boon for us, basically. And it's like, that is why the mainstream version of that rhetoric, like it's like a Republican Party talking point shitting on trans people or whatever, is like, that's exactly why, you know, it's so dangerous whenever, is because it's like they found it to be a useful tool in like bringing people over to their side, finding common ground with other perhaps slightly less Nazi-ist races, where we can all agree that these people are gross, right? And then next thing you know, they're all in cahoots together and their numbers are burgeoning and whatnot, and it's right. You know,
That's why I find DeSantis' refusal to like denounce these people, because they're marching around with his signs.
Right.
And they do this constantly. And whenever he's asked about it, his staff will say that you're trying to smear the governor by associating him with these people. It's like, no, the reporters aren't doing that.
They're doing that. Right. It's like, yeah, they're always like, oh, we're not ever Republicans, right? Don't call us all racist or whatever. It's like, not every Republican is racist, but pretty much every racist that is politically motivated at all is a Republican, though. You know what I mean? Like, none of these Nazi guys are voting for Joe Biden. None of them. All of them are voting for, you know, the GOP nominee, probably Trump, whoever it ends up being. It's like, and that should tell you something, but they're always like, oh, here it comes with the name calling and the smear campaigns, acting like we're all racist. This is typical Democrats. And it's just like, I don't know.
All you got to do is say, I do not support Nazis. I don't want them associated with my campaign. Please put down my fucking signs. Or like, you know, like I'm not sure the exact wording wishes to say it, but instead he says nothing. Which brings us to DeSantis part of this, because like the reason I brought up the history of Jacksonville is you're not going to learn that in a fucking classroom in Florida right now.
No.
So like, DeSantis looked utterly aggrieved to have to fly back from Iowa to deal with this shit. He went to a vigil. He gave a couple speeches. He announced $100,000 donations to the families and $1 million to Edward Waters Youth University for more security. And Fox News, when they talked about this, talked about DeSantis in awe, like he's a martyr. Like they talked about it like he was taking a break from his full-time job of running for president to do his part-time job of being governor.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, but see, the people, going back to the Fox News thing, can't be fooled that easily. So here's how it was received at the vigil in Jacksonville, if you got this video, Matt.
We are not going to allow these institutions to be targeted by people.
Okay, listen, y'all. Let me tell you, we finna put parties aside. Because it ain't about parties today.
All right, you cut
a
it
bullet don't.
Yeah, it's hard to hear that, but so he was being heckled, right? People were saying, like, you don't belong here. You caused this, shit like that.
Yeah, you're not welcome here. Your policies caused this. What you're referring to, besides the fact that, that you can't learn about racism in Florida, is these loosened states gun laws. When I watched this the first time, I had sort of mixed feelings about it because I wish we didn't live in a world where any of this happened, right? But, like, I don't feel sorry for DeSantis. I just wish he was a different guy that didn't deserve this to happen to him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, but it's not like he's made his brand civility. All he does is, like, acrimoniously yell at people who dare to question him in public.
Yeah, he antagonizes the shit out of everybody who isn't, like, his, like, core. I mean, they all do, but he's, like, one of the worst. That whole, you know, proudly waving his, like, gay-hating flag and whatnot, making whole campaign ads about how much he hates a certain type of people or whatnot. Yeah, no, his calling card is the opposite of civility. So, you know, you shouldn't be surprised when people are like, hey, you're a dickhead, you know, when you walk around being a dickhead to everybody all the time.
Yeah. As evil as he is, like, I was thinking about, like, no one would have done that to George W. Bush.
I know. I was right. I agree. It's like, it is different. It's like, I'm not saying that, like, well, I don't know. That one, you know, he did get a shoe thrown at him. But, like, but
he had to murder that guy's whole family, though, to do that.
Sure. Yeah, right. I just thought for a very long time, like, the president. It didn't used to be like the president did get respected. He might have been your guy. You might not have voted for him or whatever. But like if the president came to town or whatever, people, you know, afforded them a level of respect that like the office itself justified, or at least ostensibly and publicly. You know what I mean? And that's just like it's just over now. And like rightfully so when it comes to people like DeSantis and Trump and whatnot. But it's also, like you said, it's just kind of a shame that this is where we're at. This definitely does feel like a devolution, you know, in general recently, politically.
There was an old quote about Ronald Reagan where like, he'll give you the shirt off his back, but then vote to take away all your government benefits. Right.
Yeah.
At least
so many people like that, dude. You know, grew up surrounded by so many people like that.
So, like, I don't understand where, like, this whole new generation Republican leader that can't express any sort of human empathy at any time or, like, consider themselves fallible or take any sort of questioning. But, like I'm never going to know what DeSantis' heart, whether he's fucking racist or whatever. And I don't know how these guys, we live in a stochastic terrorism factory. With all these lone, just coincidentally 4,000 lone gunmen, right? Who all line up on the same side of the political spectrum for the most part. And they all support a political party who, you know, talks openly about insurrection against the government and how in secession and stuff and how we need to kill elected leaders and the tree of freedom must be watered by the blood of tyrants or however, the tree of liberty must be watered by the blood of tyrants. All these people say this shit openly while pushing to like, repeal gun laws. And the repealing gun laws thing really started in earnest in like around 2008 when Obama was elected. You could draw your own conclusion there. I'm not being conspiratorial here. I'm not saying this is a plan. I'm saying if it was a plan, how would it fucking be different?
Right.
You know what I'm
saying? Yeah.
Like, if they actually wanted stuff like the Jacksonville shooting to happen, what would be different?
Right.
And I'm struggling to like,
yeah, right.
To figure it out. And it's worth noting here,
well, it's like, what do you think if it's not like a plan in their head? What do you think it is? It's just like what metrics and shit? Like, this is what works. Like, we got people telling us this is what works, this type of rhetoric and pushing these narratives and stuff. It's like, it's effective. And so that's why we're doing it, you know? Or,
I think DeSantis looks at the Nazis carrying his sign and says, well, I agree with them on 98% of stuff, just not the signs. The Nazi, that's not the Nazi iconography. Right. I honestly feel like there's no other solution choice, but like conclusion to draw, but that he feels some sort of like affinity to them. But I don't like, I have to actually have this in writing. I want to read from this here real quick, because periodically the DHS or the FBI, one of the national, you know, federal law enforcement agencies will put together an intel report that says something like, you know, white ring domestic terrorism's biggest threat to the U.S. or whatever. And it almost always causes a controversy. Recently, there were hearings about it in Congress like last year, and where Republicans threw a fit about how dare you even bring it up. But there, I remember like one of these things happened in 2009 when the Obama Justice Department put out one of these reports, and they were pressured into retracting it. And I want to quote here from John Boehner, who now is seen as a sane Republican, said, "The Secretary of Homeland Security owes the American people an explanation for why she has abandoned using the term terrorist to describe those such as Al-Qaeda who are plotting overseas to kill innocent Americans, while her own department is using the same term to describe American citizens who disagree with the direction of Washington Democrats are taking their nation." Here's a DHS report on like militia groups and Nazis and lone wolf terrorists. Right. And he says, "Why are you picking on our people?"
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, just because they don't like Democrats, they're terrorists now? It's like,
right.
No, it's because they're Nazis who know how to make bombs and shit. Fucking set churches right. on fire and stuff like that. That's why.
And this is, again, this is from 14 years ago. I want to quote from it here. It was titled "Right-Wing Extremism, Current Economic and Political Climate Fueling Resurgence and Radicalization and Recruitment." It names white supremacists, radical anti-abortionists, and a few disgruntled veterans as most susceptible to recruitment by extremist groups or to harboring resentment that may lead to domestic terrorism. DHS stressed that during recessions, these threats go up and law enforcement should be on the lookout for such extremism. Returning veterans possess combat skills and experience that are attracted to right-wing terrorists. The Oath Keepers. All right. Yeah. They predicted the fucking Oath Keepers. So, going back to George W., like, again, the dude should be in The Hague, but like, he at least would have hugged people there and said, "I feel your pain," while repealing some gun laws.
Right.
But he wouldn't have went on TV and said, "These terrorists are our people,"
right,
and refused to denounce them. So I don't know what to make of that. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Things don't hit, Mark. That's it's the bottom line there.
I'm gonna choose to like feel like this is the death rattles of an old way of thinking. These people are always gonna be with us to some degree, and they're unfortunately they're always gonna have guns. But again, Jacksonville took down their Confederate statues, changed the school named after Nathan Bedford Forrest, elected the first black mayor. The sheriff I mentioned earlier is a black dude. Not that sheriffs don't hit in general, but if you're gonna have one, they should be black.
That's what I've been trying to tell myself since all this shit really kicked off in earnest, you know, in 2016 or whatever it was. That's how I try, you know, sleep at night. So, I mean, I'm with you. I'm going to hope that's the case. Matt, get us some comments and questions if you can there, buddy. Hook it up. Thank you. Sandy Trunks, somebody's been on the beach, says hit that like button, skewers. Thank you very much. Yes, like, share, subscribe, tell your mama and them, rate and review, all that stuff. And all that internet stuff, which somehow works. Nicole Parton Ollie Good says DeSantis couldn't spell civility. I don't know if he went to Florida schools, but
he apparently was well liked at Yale. Played baseball. He got a pretty girl to marry. Must be charming in some context. I've never seen it yet. Not in public.
Sylvia Kidwell says, "If my family member was murdered by a racist, the last person I would want speaking at their vigil is Ron DeSantis." Well, apparently, you know, some people there very much agreed with that sentiment. Acoustic Iris 3 says, "Oh Jesus, Boehner is sane now." I lived through 2000 and 2008, and that is not reality. But like,
I don't think that. But he saw this getting worse, and instead said, "Fuck it," and went back to Ohio to drink wine, get wine drunk every night. So like, I'm not saying he's good. Right. No way, I'm saying he's good.
Well, it's funny. We just had this same conversation sort of in the text thread the other day about like Mitt Romney or whatever. Where it's like, I hear you, dude. Of course, fuck John Boehner. Of course, but like, I don't think he is as bad as this current crop of, you know, the real MAGA extremists, the dipshit brigade or whatever. It's like, I don't think we've had any mainstream politicians who were this bad, this publicly, you know, outside of like elite post like civil rights, you know, Strom Thurmond, maybe he's a mummified segregation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but outside of like that,
these guys are
as bad as they've ever been.
Boehner was replaced by he said that any sane Republican wouldn't still be calling themselves one. It was like commenters that wish they're correct. Yes. But it's worth saying that like Boehner was forced out to be replaced by Paul Ryan because Paul Ryan was crazier. Paul Ryan was forced out to be replaced by Daddy because he wasn't crazy enough. Like they're getting crazier and crazier and crazier. And it's not like I thought those were good people. I'm saying, right. like, you're going to get worse and worse and worse as long as these people have any sort yes. of power. And I'm not sure what to do about it.
Henry Mensch, a little nugget, fun fact for you. Boehner is a medical marijuana entrepreneur now, he says.
Yep.
So yep. it's nifty. But yeah, like, you know, Liz Cheney, arch conservative, man. Super conservative. She had
Love Trump. She Love Trump to, until January
yeah.
6th.
Right.
Yeah.
She had to go. Wasn't crazy enough. So yeah, they like they have gotten worse. I mean, again, dude, I've said this before plenty of times, but like I didn't think it was possible to hate a politician more than I hated George W. Bush when he was president. I hated that motherfucker so strongly. And it's like he just seems quaint in comparison to fucking Donald Trump, you know what I mean? And what we're dealing with now, I never yeah. thought it was possible.
What,
but like,
what we were arguing about the other day about Mitt Romney, this is no mystic, I mean, quote here, Mitt Romney is a classic pro-corporate douchebag, but things have gotten so bad that he seems bearable. DB, I'm not sure whether it's dickbag or douchebag. I went with douchebag. Let's go, let's say dickbag. So like, yeah, we were talking about the other day. I was like, they're like, oh, Mitt Romney. I was like, people forget how bad Mitt Romney was. In 2012, he's literally the biggest liar ever to run for president. He lied about everything he'd ever done in his life. And his professional background was, you know, doing corporate raider shit where he's the reason Toys R Us went out of business, right? He was an evil, awful motherfucker. But he wouldn't have tried to overthrow the government. That's literally his defining right. feature. Right, yeah. Like what separates him from Trump is he would have been civilly cordial to people. He would have been welcome at that vigil probably and hugged people and they would have taken it sincerely. And then anyway, would have been back to doing behind the scenes covertly racist stuff instead of overtly racist stuff. But he would have left office after he lost the election. That's basically what we're talking about here.
Christine Brody says, thank you for helping keep me and so many like me sane. As a Florida registered Democrat, I feel like I'm going to lose it. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm from Tennessee. I certainly get it. It's a tough sledding. Like, it's got to be worse, though, for y'all, because, you know, for a long time, Florida was like the battleground state, super purple, you know, very up for grabs. And it's taken a hard right turn in recent years. So it's got to be tough as a Floridian Democrat.
Yeah. Did you, speaking of Tennessee, did you see what happened today and yesterday and today with the gun argument stuff? Oh, here we go. Yeah.
About the Febru Aaron says the Tennessee special session on public safety ended very nearly in fisticuffs this morning. It's just an embarrassment to be a Tennessean right now. So yeah, speak of the devil. Yeah, the silenced Justin Jones.
Yeah, the Tennessee three, they once again voted for him not to be able to talk the rest of the day yesterday, and then they basically gaveled out the session without doing anything today. And what she's what this person talk about, I'm assuming is she, sorry, I'm assuming it's Aaron, that's my wife's name. They, after they gaveled out the session, Jones tried to hold up a sign and block their way and they shoved him out of the way. It didn't look to me as violent as the way the captions of the videos looked, but yeah, it was at least a gentle shove, but yeah, it wasn't great. And the fact that they booted this guy out of the legislature, he got reelected and they're back voting that he can't talk again. While the gallery's like booing and hissing, and they were talking about like the Covenant school moms are a big factor in this. These are like, I think race is relevant in this situation. These are white moms at who had kids in a private Christian school. These are not like what you call the Democratic base.
Right.
And they're there screaming for fucking gun control. And then they gaveled out of session, and then the Tennessee Gun Rights Organization puts out an email, a fundraising email, that literally said, there was no substantive action. We consider this a victory.
So. Yeah, it's a bummer. I mean, you know, like we say, a lot of, you know, most of their policies don't seem to be actually popular with anybody. No, Mystic says I meant douchebag, but that's all good. Now, he got it right. You got it right. Yeah, you went with douchebag. He's, you know, you had some reservations about the choice, I guess, but you nailed it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like you said, just try to be optimistic. Not optimistic, but try to keep the the void at bay to a certain extent. Try to remind myself that at the end of the day, most people are still, you know, pretty all right in this country and have some semblance of sanity and whatnot.
Problem is you can just have a bad day and become the world's biggest asshole. Like you're forever remembered as a murderer because you fucking lose your shit because it's a gun handy. Like there's a Right, UNC, yeah. University of North Carolina was locked down yesterday for what turned out not to be a mass shooting, but there was an active shooter. It was one PhD student killed his professor. I haven't seen any motive for it. They happen to be both from China. I'm not sure whether that's affecting their story at all, but the conspiracy theorists are having a fucking field day with this. because it's like the physics department. So I guess they're building nukes for China or something. I don't know. It isn't like whatever. We'll go with whatever. Probably just a guy who got a bad grade and flipped the fuck out.
Yeah. And, you know, it's easier to do here in terms of like flip out and then murder someone as a result of flipping out. We make it very easy to do that. All right. Listen, I want to remind y'all again real quick. Like I said, go to treycrowder.com, get tickets, pre-order my book, come see me, all that good stuff. And subscribe to the audio version of the show on whatever podcast app you use. And you can go to weeklyskews.com/more. Or look me up on Patreon, $5 a month. You get access to full-length bonus episodes and support the show in the process. But the primary thing, of course, keep coming back every Skews Day. If you do, we will as well. So we'll see you next time, 7 days from now. Love you, bye.
Skews.